Giving the Lord's help, put your attention to the words resting on my mind, which you will find in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and the 16th verse. 21st chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew and the 16th verse. Reading the last clause, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. The verse reads, and he said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. The Lord Jesus Christ spake as never man spoke. He spoke with heavenly wisdom and sacred and blessed insight into the truth. In an earlier part of his teaching in the 11th chapter of Matthew, he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. And we see in his teaching a number of facets of truth. The one that is most striking here is the simplicity of what he is saying. There is something very striking about this remark, very understandable, and yet it contains a vast deep. There is to be, in the work of God, a bringing down. There is to be a bringing down to a dependence and a resting upon the Lord Jesus. There has to be taken away from us earthly wisdom. There has to be removed pride and independence. When we come to consider this subject tonight, there has to be a complete trusting and resting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a babe. One of the words which illuminates this text is the word of Moses when he was dying, in his dying utterance. And he uttered those words which relate to this passage. Underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is thy refuge. We can see here the infant babe being carried in the arms of God. When we walk, as it were, on our own two feet, constantly we go in the wrong direction. A child, when it is carried in its mother's arms, relatively is safe. When it grows up, it wanders. This is true. Oh, how spiritually, says the solemn, an awful wandering. Man walks into bypass meadows and into solemn paths of disobedience. But when the work of grace is begun, when there is a revelation of the Spirit in the soul, when heavenly wisdom is given, when there is a being carried in the arms of Jesus, when the eternal God is our refuge and underneath of the everlasting arm, then we're safe. God takes us. And you know, one of the works of the Spirit in bringing us to be his babe is to bring us to long to be carried and brought and taken in right path. Because there's coming an hour when in the utmost and solemn and awful weakness we shall need to be carried across that Jordan of death. We shall need one to take us over. And the most blessed path of God's dear children in this world is to be in his arms of love and mercy, holy, at one with his purposes, holy in his arms, with our will as his will, and to be made conformable unto the image of that one who did always those things that pleased his Father. What a complete union and oneness of spirit and heart and soul and mind there was between Christ and his Father. Oh, how he walked this earth in absolute and utter and perfect and entire and complete total obedience. We cannot emphasize it enough. Oh, how far short we come of that. And how far short we come of that dependence upon him. Dependence of a child upon its parent in its childhood as a babe is entire. It is dependent upon its parent for life, for food, for water, for protection. When we come to consider these things, God's dear family are brought to be buried in his arms. And there will be a dependence, an absolute dependence. And you know, unlike a child, there is in the child of God a realization of the need of that dependence. There's an understanding of what it is and how vital it is to be found in union and in the blessed fellowship with the eternal Son of God, being made conformable unto his image, being brought into that pathway of faith and dependence and a willing obedience and a submission. We brought us clay in the hands of the heavenly potter to be made willing in the day of his power, and to be brought into the place that is spoken of here in the scriptures, to be carried in his arms, guided and directed and provided for, and to have our priorities right, to be brought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to be brought to seek his face, to be brought to love and to value and to cherish that bread of heaven and that water of life, to have a desire to sit under the ministry of his holy word and to be fed and to be strengthened by it, for the word of God to be food to our soul, to strengthen our faith, to enable us to be still in his hands and to seek his guidance and his leading, to be as that clay in the hands of the heavenly potter. What a long and deep pathway it is to that place where we are brought to seek his guidance and his strength and his help in everything. And to be brought to know our own weakness, our own lack of wisdom, our own inability to do anything right in and of ourselves, and to be brought to be still in his hand under his dealings with us. Oh, as God's dear children journey on and he deals with them more and more, his work, the work of the Holy Spirit, is to bring us down and down in a knowledge, an ever-developing knowledge of our ignorance, our inability, our lack of faith, our lack of prayer, our lack of anything that is right. It is to bring us into a knowledge of our poverty and the death that abounds within, and to give us earnest desires, gracious hungerings and thirstings after himself. And he would guide us, teach us. We are brought, as we journey on, to confess our ignorance and our death, and to seek his blessed wisdom, his life in our soul, his gracious help. Isaac Watts, in the first hymn I believe it is in our book, said, "What worthless worms are we?" Dear old Harvey Carr, the pastor of Chippenham, when walking with some of the Wiltshire farmers in the country lanes, used to occasionally, in front of them, stoop down and pick up a worm and put it in the hay. But what a work is the work of God. He stooped to protect the worm. And the hymn writer knew it when he said, "What worthless worms are we?" The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, spoke of the sheep. Helpless, defenseless, stupid, silly, wandering, on the mountainside lost, needing to be brought and carried on the shoulders of the Good Shepherd. These figures all speak to us of ourselves. And you know, we need to be brought off those wandering feet that have wandered so far and constantly do, and to be carried in the arms of the Lord Jesus. For here our text tells us from the lips of Jesus, have you never read this striking truth out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, as thou perfectly pray? So, what is the language that comes from the mouth of these babes and sucklings? And I would attempt to go through some of the utterances of these babes and sucklings. Out of their mouths, God has perfectly prayed to himself. And we begin with this word, "Lord, help me." This is God honouring and God glorifying. The wisdom that brings the babe and the suckling to utter such a prayer. It is a recognition of inability to do anything for ourselves. It is a recognition of God himself. The Lord is honoured and glorified when his dear children come in sincerity and truth and in vital need under the teaching of the Holy Spirit to cry to him for help. And what are they asking for? Well, let us put aside everything providential and look at the spiritual side of this. For that is the vital thing. It is not the things that perish. God has promised to add those. It is a seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is the need of that precious fountain of his blood and robe of his righteousness. Dying thief asks for it. Here was a babe and a suckling in the kingdom of God, brought to the new birth in the very last hour of his life, and his words were in absolute simplicity. God was glorified in them. Remember me. What a circumstance it was that he who had cursed and blasphemed as he was nailed to the cross and cursed Jesus should in the hour of his death be brought to utter that language. For there he was, a babe in grace, a mere suckling, and yet God was glorified in this, that flesh and blood had not revealed it unto him, but his Father which was in heaven. His eyes had been opened. His ears had been opened. He had seen the eternal Son of God. He saw his kingdom. He was awakened to his need. We indeed justly, for this man has done nothing amiss. And he was brought to flee for refuge. The only refuge in this whole world. He was brought to flee for refuge for one who was able to save him from death, in that he feared. He came with a precious gift of faith, and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he pleaded. And what was he asking for? Remember me. Oh, he was asking. And when we look at that, dear friends, we can truthfully say, yes, he was already remembered. Father, I will. Those whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. He was in that everlasting covenant. Except you become as little children. Ah. What a characteristic. Even a baby, when it can't utter a word, asks for its food in its cry. Cries when it is hungry. When it is satisfied, it is silent and will sleep. But all here we see this, and I wonder if there are some of you who have come in the house of God this night, hungry and thirsty. For the word of God to be made in your heart, that blessed strength, that food to your soul, that which lifts you out of the darkness and death of unbelief, liberates your soul in sweet repentance, godly sorrow for sin, melts your heart down and brings you into that blessed experience of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To be able to rest in him and the peace which is his, and to know and to hear from his lips, and to know what the dying thief heard today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. There is an earnest desire in the hearts of the children of God to know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves them, died for them, and will come again and receive them to glory. Here then is the work of God in the hearts of his dear children, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, as thou perfected pray. Sometimes it is the pathway of God in dealing with his dear children to bring them into that place and make them as a little child. They are full of rebellion and obstinacy and self-will, and God deals with them to humble them and to bring them down. He did with Jonah. He was a man of God, a servant of God, walking in bold defiance, dark rebellion, fleeing from the presence of God. God deals. The humble. We see exactly the same situation with the psalmist David in his great sin of adultery. how the Lord brought him in the 51st Psalm to be a little child. And we see the blessed language of it. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. When we grow older, you know, we grow proud. Independent. How much easier it is for a child to say sorry than for a grown adult. Or how much pride often stands in the way of a word of confession and repentance. And the Lord will bring us down. He'll bring us to the footstool of mercy and make us as little children. There is a bringing down in repentance and godly sorrow and confession for sin. And the Lord brings us to that blessed place where pride is taken away and where we bow before the Lord in godly sorrow for sin. The arrogance of Jonah was removed in the solemn dealings of God when the weeds were wrapped about his head and when he went down to the depths. And God does, as the hymn writer says, bring proud nature down. He does indeed. And when we see the fruit of the work of God in the heart of his servant Jonah, we see some of the work of the Spirit and bringing us to be as little children. He shut him up in his arms to such a degree that ever he was to come out alive, his God was to do it. He shut him up in his hand in such a way that he brought him to his feet in obedience and submission. And all what submission and obedience he brought him to. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest me. There was a sacred confession of sin. The Lord brought his dear servant to a place where he could truthfully say, out of experience of it, salvation is of the Lord. He was brought to be as a child in the hand of his God. And he was brought into the paths of obedience and submission. And he was brought to rest and to be still. And that dreadful spirit of self and rebellion and disobedience and arrogance was gone forever. Was humbled and brought down. He humbles our proud heart. He lays us low at the footstool of mercy. And we see in his healings in his own day the characters that were weighted down with their affliction to such a degree that they were brought to be beggars. We hear it from the lips of blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Only because he was in the situation he was in did he come with such a prayer. Had he walked in full health, that his sight and all his faculties would never have uttered such a prayer. The man who lay for 38 years at Bethesda Pool, how dependent he was. Absolutely dependent. And God saw him like a babe. And he stooped. There were many lying at that pool. It was a place where many lay. What is so striking about that case is the sovereign grace of God that he went to that one man. Where there is a coming together of one in that condition of need and divine electing love and mercy. Here we see the request that comes from the lips of these babes in suffering. Out of their mouths come these blessed requests. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee, Lord, that I might receive my sight? I've often felt with that request that, according to the Lord's word, surely it was obvious. And yet the Lord wanted to hear from his lips that simple request. And in all the heavy weight of his affliction, he was enabled in the simplicity of truth to bow beneath the Lord's request and ask. And you know, when the Lord deals with his own family, with these babes in suffering, they have the most simple request, the most sacred request, the most blessed request to put to him. It is eternal life that they are seeking. It is the salvation of their immortal soul. It is the work of the Spirit in the new birth, in that new creature in Christ Jesus, to show them what the old creature is in them, and its fallen and ruined nature. And it is the new creature that speaks, in all the blessed work of grace in the heart. It is that new man of grace that utters these heavenly requests of heavenly wisdom. It is from that new man of grace in the soul that there come these blessed requests. It came from the dying thief. Remember me. It came from Samson in his dying hour. Remember me this once only. He was brought from being a man of mighty strength to being a babe. Blind, eyeless, all his strength gone. He was just like a child. And yet out of that, and I believe, dear friends, there is a heavenly principle here. It's only from the lips of babes in suffering. Spiritually so. Those who have been brought to feel their ruin and their poverty and their need, that there come from their mouths these utterances which redound to God honour and glory. Now let me say what these utterances are not. The praise that is spoken of here is not the carnal singing of hymns with loud voices and choirs and anthems. Long as the Lord shown me in my spirit, and I used to go and listen to these things, but there was a day when the Lord said to me, come out from among them and be separate, and open my eyes to what it was. I used to go and listen to the Messiah and listen to the hallelujahs, and used to think what wonderful music it was, until the Lord suddenly showed me that there wasn't an atom of anything godly in it at all. It was blasphemous. The praise that is spoken of here is that praise which the eye of a heart-searching God sees right through. It's the praise of a broken-hearted sinner. It's the praise of a child of God. It's the praise of a babe in grace. The praise of a dear saint like Hezekiah, and the Lord brought him to death, and in all his poverty and weakness, he described his prayer as like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. And yet, I tell you this, that prayer echoed in the courts of heaven above, perfumed by the merits of Christ, as holy and totally acceptable to God, something which he rejoiced over, to hear the voice of a sinner at the throne of grace pleading for the fountain of his precious blood to wash him and cleanse him. So that's what Hezekiah asked for. And in that chapter in Isaiah, in the 38th chapter, We read of the answer to that prayer of that babe. For he was indeed brought to be as a babe in the Lord's house, absolute weakness, under the solemnity of death and eternity before him. He pleaded with his God in the simple language for a broken-hearted sinner. Remember me. Undertake for me. O Lord, I am oppressed. All the weakness, the poverty, the need, the dependence. And yet, dear friend, the strength. For he was walking in the right way that leads to everlasting life. It was a straight and narrow way that he was walking in. A bitter way. It was a way in which all his sins came before him. And he saw the solemnity of eternity and the full weight of his sins were resting upon him. The judgment of God was in his heart and he knew it. And if God was strict to mark iniquity, he couldn't stand. But in that 38th of Isaiah, we read of the fullness of the blessing that was his, the praise that came. We can assess it quite clearly. The peace, he says, I had great bitterness of soul, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. You see, the praise of these babes and sucklings is the praise of sin forgiven. God's perfected praise in their lips, in the experience of prayer heard and answered. The praise is often the praise of glory. We believe it was with Samson. The answer to his prayer was in a moment, in a dying hour. It was the same answer with the dying thief. God heard his prayer and answered it in a dying hour. His praise was in glory. But let me add this. His praise was upon the cross when he received the promise. Praise again isn't the language of the lips. It's the heart. And the praise is the praise of a broken-hearted sinner before his God. A broken and a contrite heart is liberty, is confession, is repentance, is pardon, is peace. And you know, it's in the walking out of that peace that there's praise. Praise is from the depths of the hearts of a child of God as the Lord visits their soul and pardons their iniquity, as they receive the blessed assurance in their soul and the knowledge in experience that the Lord has loved them with an everlasting love. Out of their heart comes praise. There's no other praise in this world. Everything else is carnal. Praise stems from the receipt of pardon and peace. Praise stemmed from the blessed knowledge in assurance of heaven. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That promise, that pardon, brought such an unutterable peace into the heart of the dying thief. We indeed justly, but this man has done nothing amiss. All how the Lord was honoured. Honoured in his confession. In the ears of God, that was praise. In the ears of God, as he listened, the Lord Jesus Christ listened to those words, he knew God is glorified when the sinner, and the dying sinner, for we're all dying sinners, is brought to rest in Jesus Christ for salvation. Brought to die leaning upon him. Brought to die hoping in his mercy, hoping in his finished work, trusting there. Or when the soul is brought to a precious realization that they are resting in that sacred finished work of Christ, then there is praise. Dear John Kennett says, children, the heavenly King, as you journey, sweetly sing. Sing your great Redeemer's praise, glorious in his works and lives. You're travelling home to God in the way your fathers trod. They are happy now, and soon their happiness you shall see. God brings these babes and sucklings to praise him. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou perfectly praised. Let us come finally to this consideration. So this is the application of it. Have we been brought to this place? How great in our life have been the depths of our needs? Have our prayers ever been wrung from our hearts with the weight and burden of our sins and the dealings of our God with us? Have we gone down, as Jonah did, into the whale's belly with the weeds wrapped about our head and the hand of God shutting us in completely? What have we known of the solemn dealings of God with us in our souls to bring us to the place that Hezekiah came to? I'm at prayer. Undertake for me. Lord, remember me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you ever paced the hospital ward, perhaps? I believe I have, pleading with God to appear. And what have we known of deliverance? What have we sweetly known of his appearing, of the mighty presence of our God stilling the stormy worry? What have we known of the experience, the principle of it, of Jonah, the fish vomiting us out on dry land? And to come forth with the language of Jonah when he said, salvation is of the Lord. What have we known of the experience of the three men in the fiery furnace? Have we ever entered in our experience into a fiery furnace and known Jesus with us in it? Known his mighty presence? Daniel went down to the den of lions, my God. Oh, how many storms and fiery furnaces God's children have to walk in, because the scriptures tell us that through much tribulation he shall enter the kingdom. The more of these paths we walk out, the more we shall know what it is, in the language of our text, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou perfectly praised. There is a simplicity, a sincerity, an openness, a frankness in the utterance of a little child. They often openly say things you wish they wouldn't say, but they tell the truth. Whereas an adult will cover it up or conceal it or do something deceptive with it. Child comes out there. Boldly. Well, the Lord desires that his dear children should be brought to that place. Except you become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. He desires sincerity and truth. There is a perfecting of this prayer. If that is the perfecting of it, they that worship him must worship him in sincerity and truth. We do believe that in heaven the praise is in sincerity and truth. And it's in this blessed utterance, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Lord having brought his church home to heaven, listens to those heavenly anthems which are to his honour and glory. As they journey in this life, he is so dealing with them that out of their lips will be brought this praise. Out of their lips will come this which is honouring to him. These earnest cries, earnest petitions, humble, broken-hearted prayer in contrition. This that is God-honoring. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Here was the little boy in grace. Not the proud sinner which said, I'll go with him today. All the difference. God brings his dear children now. I will not believe unless I see. Well, there was a difference. My Lord and my God. God brings his dear children to his feet. And all how he's honoured. In such an utterance. A sinner in confession and in godly sorrow and in humble repentance, Jesus stoops to his dear children to lift them up. And this is his desire, that they should walk in this way, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, hast thou perfected praise. Amen.